AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Sven Sundgaard is, of course, an exceptional weatherman. Forecastissold.com. Forecastissold.com/weather. He's also launching his brand new Patreon. We'll talk about that as well with him. Hey, Sven.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on that. We've been talking about this. You finally got the Patreon page launched.
Yeah, I finally soft launched today. And then, you know, the big thing that I'll be putting on there next week sometime will be my winter forecast that we've talked about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, $4.99 a month, you know, that's nothing.
It really is. It's great value. And plus the fact that, once again, Sven is the best weatherman in town, hands down. It is absolutely top-notch weather forecasting. I mean, not only that, we talk about, you know, talk about animals. We'll talk a little bit about that lunar eclipse coming in. We'll talk about a lot of things. A lot of things to talk about. $4.99 per month for Sven's weather is a great value. I will put the link up for the Patreon page a little bit later on. I'll get signed up myself as well today. And you basically go and get signed up and get the good weather with Sven, because you definitely want to have that as we get through these winter months. I will say, what the heck happened this morning with the storm? I'm in a grocery store. I walk outside, and it's snowing like crazy outside.
Yeah, so convective flurries, basically. Similar situation as to how we get thunderstorms to form in the warm season. This happens occasionally in the winter, obviously on a much smaller, shallower scale. But convection is just when we have one layer of moist, warm air, relatively speaking, underneath a relatively cold layer. And what happens in these situations, we're rapidly, you're seeing cold air move in over the last 24 hours, and it's cooling the layers of air above the ground faster than the air near the surface can cool. And so yesterday, remember, we had a little sunshine for a couple hours. As soon as that cold really started moving, you get this thin deck of low clouds filled in quick. And we started getting those flurries, snow showers yesterday, late in the day. And then this morning was just a continuation of that. Because you got to remember that the ground, you know, everything, a tree, the warm ground, all of that is retaining heat. It doesn't cool off instantly just because cold air moved in. And of course, the fact that, you know, Minnesota's 10,000 plus lakes are all still not frozen yet. Those are putting off heat and moisture. And so it just takes time when you get these rapid cool downs like this. It takes time to cool off the lower layers. And so 5,000-10,000 feet up, it just cools off so much more quickly. And you basically create instant instability, because obviously what's warm is going to want to rise if the air above it suddenly cools.
I was amazed when I did metro traffic, and we'd fly out of Flying Cloud on a Beechcraft Sport two-seater. And the second you got off the ground, the temperature just dropped. And like only 100 feet above us, it is about 10-15 degrees colder than it is on the ground. And so, and that's what it felt like. The snow this morning felt like cold air just knocking every bit of water out of the air they could. You know, just doing that.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, too. It's a lot easier to create a snowflake than it is a raindrop, because there's just less moisture involved. You know, the common ratio that people think about is 10 to 1, you know. You know, a half inch of water would be 5 inches of snow. That's an average. It varies a lot. But the basic idea is it takes a lot less moisture to create ice than it does water, because ice expands. Anybody knows that who's left something outside, a plastic bucket that freezes, and wonder why it got all cracked and broke up by the time the spring rolls around.
As you bring this up, I want to actually talk about one thing that's, you know, once again, climate change related weather. You had, I think about a month ago, you and I had talked about there's this river of moisture that was coming in towards the West Coast. And it might, and you were saying it might affect us. It depends on where it hits. Now, it slightly affected us, but it seems like it really came in north of where they're predicting. British Columbia, Washington State, there has been some insane flooding as they're getting months worth of rain in 2 days.
Yeah, so anywhere west of and to the Rockies can get these atmospheric rivers. I mean, the reason we don't get them anywhere near what they would there is because of the Rockies. I mean, you know, thousands, over 10,000 foot wall basically blocking that low level moisture, which is where most of the water is going to be in the atmosphere. Now, the system we had a few weeks ago, if you recall, that was same system that dumped all the moisture on San Francisco and Oregon and Washington from a month ago, that same storm hit us and it got a new source of moisture, which is from the Gulf of Mexico, yeah. which is our number one source, but very little of that leftover Pacific moisture. But yeah, British Columbia, anywhere, you know, Alaska can get these atmospheric rivers too. As long as it lines up right, you get this very narrow band of moisture. And we just know that our oceans are warmer as well as the air. You know, we think about temperature. That's easiest for us to grasp, the air temperature. But our oceans are a lot warmer, and water takes a lot more heat to warm up the same amount. So you think of the fact that 70% of our planet is covered in oceans, and some of the shocking climate science over the recent years is, as we're starting to measure the temperatures at the depths of the ocean, it's heating up faster than we thought. And so, you know, we've talked about before these runaway systems, these tipping points. You know, there's a question, how much more can the oceans absorb? 90% of the heat that we put into the planet, which we already know is crazy, has been absorbed by the ocean so far. So think of how crazy things have gotten on land here. Mm-hmm. That's only a tenth of the extra heat on the planet. The oceans are bearing the brunt, and any air sitting above warm water has more moisture. It's evaporating too. And this is, you know, it's a common thread here. We talk about hurricanes, everything else. That is the fuel source for it. And these atmospheric rivers are supercharged for the same reasons. Warmer water, evaporating more, but even to more of an extreme, because it's not just looking at a large area, but when you're condensing it into these rivers, you're taking that already more moisture and condensing it. So it's even worse. So it's kind of like these tipping points with, you know, it doesn't sound like much when we say we warmed up our planet a couple degrees Fahrenheit so far, but that has already increased the frequency of the kind of heat we had in June by multiple times. So mm-hmm. just a couple degrees, but a huge impact on extremes. And it's a similar thing with moisture sources like that.
And it's interesting, when we talk about climate change making certain areas less hospitable, we talk about most of the time Florida, Louisiana, places like that where they're low-lying, they're going to get flooded. You, putting it together, two things you just brought in. One, that river of supercharged weather with the moisture that's coming in, that's like a spring storm hitting the Rocky Mountains. I mean, that seems like what happened here. It's just so much moisture coming in. It hits those Rockies. It can't go over it. So it just comes back downhill. And unfortunately, you start to wonder, you know, if this becomes a recurring problem, are we going to have large swaths of the West Coast uninhabitable because they just get swamped over?
Yeah, and it's hard to say where these, because they're so concentrated. That's why we call them atmospheric rivers, because it really, if you can look at it visually, that's what it looks like. It looks like a stream that's just kind of breaking away from the main tropical source of moisture. And very difficult to predict far in advance, where is that thing going to go? And, you know, overall, the backdrop of this is that most of the West and Southwest is in this multi-year drought. But yeah, if you get hit by a garden hose, you're in trouble.
let's look at this unique feature. I love the graphic you put on yesterday's weather forecast, because I think sometimes people don't understand how the shadow moves over the moon. We are going to have a fairly impressive eclipse tonight. And this one, it was going to be
knock
three.
Knock on wood.
Well, yeah, whether we'll see it or not in Minnesota depends on a lot. But I've learned to have not too much hope for astronomical things, as the clouds here usually don't play along.
Yeah, usually, yep.
Yeah, but this is what, going to be 3 hours. That's a pretty long eclipse.
Well, technically 6 hours from the start of it. So, wow. Yeah, it's, you know, there's fancy astronomical terms. There's the penumbra of Earth, which is like the outer shadow, and then the umbra, which is the real, like, darker shadow that, you know, it's basically, you know, if you ever look, even your hand has two shadows if you put it in between light and a table. There's an outer, lighter shadow. That's the penumbra, basically, of Earth on the moon tonight. And then the darker shadow, which really blocks more of the light. And, it's a six-hour process when you look at that full thing, but really the best viewing is going to be between about 2 and 4, because 3 a.m. is the peak when the moon will be 97. It's not a total, but it's going to be close enough. 97% of the moon will be covered by Earth's shadow in otherwise what will be a full moon. And most of that window, this is why I say knock on wood, looks like we'll actually have not totally clear, but at least partly to mostly clear skies. You know, I was joking with somebody today. I'm like, this will be like our clearest 3 or 4 hours of the entire week. And it's going to actually line up potentially with that eclipse. It does look like clouds are going to come in by about 5, 6 a.m. But by that time, it'll be wrapping up. So definitely the earlier part, if you can stay up late or take a nap and get up really, really early, yeah, that 2 to 4 a.m. time frame is going to be the best viewing here. And most of North America should see it. Europe, Africa, they won't see it at all because it's going to be the middle of the day for them.
When you talk about this 97%, will you see the moon at all, or will it basically be black outside
Okay. It'll be the most tiniest of sliver. And actually, what's kind of cool about when it's 97% like this, it gets sort of this orangish reddish color if things line up right, where it gets to look like one of these blood moons. So it's almost a little better, I think, because it's not just, otherwise it's just totally black at that time and you wouldn't see much of anything except the faintest outline of a dark moon. So a little sliver of light can go a long way because it's more of the light's getting scattered. So it looks that oranger or reddish color, kind of like how the sunset looks, sunset and sunrise looks, because more of the light's scattered as it starts to disappear.
You know, a few years ago, there was a day where Venus, you could actually, if you could look at the sun, you're not supposed to do that.
Donald, yeah.
You're not supposed to do that. But if you were staring at the sun, you were actually saw.
Smart people aren't supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could actually see Venus You know, what's the term that when it goes in front of the sun, you could see people with the good
transit. Yeah,
they went across the Venus. You could see Venus in front of the sun. Is this most of the time? I'm kind of getting the impression here, and I never knew this until. I started looking at this graphic and I started reading up a little bit more after your weather forecast. Most of the time, we just kind of get a grazing hit of the moon on an eclipse. Most of the time, it's not these full eclipses, is it?
No, there's a lot more partial eclipses. Same thing with the sun, solar eclipses. There's a lot more partial than there are full. Mm-hmm. And when there is, think of the solar eclipse a few years ago. When there is a total solar eclipse, it's a very narrow area that sees it too on the planet. Now, obviously, we're talking about two different objects of different size, but yeah, lunar eclipses are actually not that infrequent. It's just, is it going to happen at night, you know, when we can see it with the full moon and all that? Mm-hmm. And in Minnesota, we actually have clear skies.
It's looking good.
Which actually I did look too. This is worth pointing out. Statistically for this date, 73% of the time it's cloudy. So we actually have, this would be an anomalously clear event for us if it pans out.
Well, and I'll take that. If I have to get up, I'll set the alarm for 2 o'clock. I'll go out there and take a look at it. But I mean, that's the part which is so frustrating, is how many times we've had these great astronomical events and it's, you know, a nice clock.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Exactly.
It's like that solar eclipse a few years ago. We wouldn't have seen much anyway, because you really, to really, really see it, you got to be in the totality. Yeah. But even here, I remember looking up through, it was cloudy and you could barely make out part of a ball of the sun. I'm like, you wouldn't have known any different from any other day. So it was pathetic, but yeah.
And once again, what time does this, it's a 6-hour process, but what time does that start? And then what time does the main eclipse start?
Yeah, so it's going to start by about 12:30. Okay. But that's on the outer shadow. That's not worth really looking at. Right. I would say if you really want to watch start to finish, like the most noticeable part, 1:30 to 4:30.
1:34.
But really anytime in that 2 to 4 time. But you don't want to just set the alarm for 3, because that'll be almost totality.
Okay.
Because if anything, you want to go earlier, because we are going to start to have clouds race back in, potentially as early as 3 a.m. It looks like cloud cover will be maybe 40% of that time. But with a full moon and an eclipse, to have more clear than cloudy should be good enough viewing. But yeah, the earlier the better, because by the time the sun's up for all of us tomorrow, it's going to be overcast again, of course. So.
Last thing I want to talk about is in your weather forecast, we've talked about these globules of cold that come down from the Arctic. The one thing I want to ask you.
I like that word, globules.
Globules. There you go.
Sounds gross. Like a ball of snot.
What does it give you? It gives you globules. One of the things that I was finding interesting is, as you talk about this really cold air that's coming down from the Arctic, am I crazy? Is it most of the air up there is actually much warmer than it's supposed to be right now?
Yeah. The Arctic is I mean, this is almost consistent, you know, whereas the rest of us have some variation. The Arctic is almost always warm, period, right now. So a lot of the maps I show temperature anomalies. So when you do see red over there, don't look at that as air that's warmer than here. It's the color is coded for what's normal for a region.
Okay.
So when you see red into the Arctic, that means warmer than normal air for them. But air that's warmer than normal for the Arctic, if you get it all the way here, is going to be colder than normal for us. But basically what's happening early next week, so today was chilly, but the air coming Monday is going to be our coldest yet. What's happening, and I did talk about this yesterday, is we're getting a squeeze, you know, one of these bizarre patterns that we've seen more and more frequently, these anomalous patterns where we've got super crazy warmth moving out of the Atlantic across Greenland, and then super crazy warmth moving out of Siberia, both moving towards the North Pole, and that's literally squeezing cold air out of the Arctic and sending one of these globules our way here for Monday. It's only going to be for about 24 hours, but it is going to be cold, man. We're talking about teens for the first time this season in the metro. Wind chills Monday morning will be in the single digits, maybe the first sub-zero actual air temperatures as well in northwestern Minnesota. So legit cold. But, you know, it's the week of Thanksgiving. It
yeah.
seems like it should be cold then.
Is it going to be a long-term thing or just a few days or just a one-day sort of thing?
No, literally one day. We're back to 40 by Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday both look pretty mild. I know Wednesday is normally a busy travel day. I don't know how many people are traveling this year. I would anticipate more than last year. But, yeah, weather's looking pretty quiet into Thanksgiving, too. And one of the models, the European model, had us 50 already on Tuesday. So very short-lived Monday, but it is going to get your attention. It's going to be windy, cold, snow showers Sunday ahead of the cold front. Not anything to write home about, but you might have, we might have a dusting or a coating blowing around again, similar to what we had this morning. I did notice that there wasn't that much snow, but it was so windy that there was actually a drift that piled up across the street. Literally the entire 0.05 of an inch of snow gathered in one spot.
That's South Dakota. I mean, seriously, yeah, you get an inch of snow and there's a 7-foot drift against a barn. Okay, that's exactly how that figures out.
If not for that barn, it would make it all the way to Minnesota.
This cold moves on tomorrow and Saturday, not that bad?
No, in fact, well, tomorrow will be windy again. Day 4 or 5 now. I think it's day 4 of wind tomorrow, but out of the south. So, you know, I wrote about this too. Whenever we have these roller coaster and temperatures back and forth so quickly like this, it's going to be windy because the wind is based on pressure differences and that's based on temperature differences. And there's just more extremes in the temperatures this time of year than in the summer. You know, you look at today, for example, it's sub-zero in Manitoba. And then, you know, it was 63 in southwestern Minnesota on Tuesday. So you have these huge temperature differences that you don't see in the summer, which equate to pressure differences. So that's why the wind is just so can be so much crazier this time of year. And when we're back and forth like we've been every other day, that's going to happen. But Saturday looks to be the nicest day as far as milder weather and light winds. I think the wind will be under 10 miles an hour. Should be in the low to mid 40s in the afternoon. It won't be sunny, but hey, it's going to be the nicest feeling day because tomorrow's 40 will come with a wind chill factor.
Yeah. We will not talk to you on Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully we'll chat back with you in a few weeks here. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
You too.
All right. And for everyone out there, once again, go to Patreon, search for Sven Sundgaard. You get the $4.99 per month. You get his weather information, and you'll want that as well. And also, I should make sure I mention here, forecastissold.com/weather. Forecastissold.com/weather. Sven, thank you very much. I appreciate it as always, my friend.
You betcha. Have a great weekend, too.
Take care. We'll take a break, wrap up the show when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.